Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
A happy Tuesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. We got a great show for you guys today. Hope everybody enjoyed their holiday weekend. We are back. Week one of the NFL starts on Thursday. Great to have that back, Cowboys and Eagles. We'll talk a little survivor pool strategies coming up on the show later on today. We'll also dive into plenty of college football. Clayton Safey going to join us here in moments to break down the big game of the week, Michigan and Oklahoma. We'll also look at some of the other big matchups we have upcoming in week two of college football. Nick Henyon going to join us later on in the show, and then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the week, of the day. As always, any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. Chime in, send in your questions, your best bets at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, and we'll get to them over the next 30 minutes of the show. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get rolling on a Tuesday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Check in with Clayton Safey, who joins us. Give Clayton a follow on X at CSAF23, staff writer and social for Wolverine.com. Clayton, great having you back on the show, man. Let's talk about Bryce Underwood, right? He was the big story going into the season for Michigan. We saw his debut on Saturday against New Mexico, 21 for 31, 251 yards, and a touchdown. Overall, what were your thoughts? What did head coach Jerome Moore have to say after watching Bryce Underwood make his first college start?
Yeah, I thought from warm-ups to him walking off the field, you know, after the game, he looked really poised, in control, didn't look like a freshman. Jerome Moore actually said yesterday that he looked like a guy who'd been playing college football for a few years. Now, it was just New Mexico, but he checked every box in that game and actually left a lot out there that I think he could do, including running. They didn't ask him to do any of that. He's a dynamic runner, great athlete, and I think we're going to see some of that this Saturday night against Oklahoma when they need him to, potentially in the red zone when it gets a little bit, you know, field gets condensed and things like that. But, I mean, the throws were on target. I thought he made good decisions. I thought that the ball was hardly in harm's way, which is huge for a freshman as well. You know, he had 10 incompletions, like you said, 21 of 31, but four of those were drops. There were a couple others that probably could have been caught as well that I wouldn't necessarily categorize as a drop, but still not a bad throw. And, you know, a couple plays where maybe the timing was off. There was a, you know, he could have had another touchdown if he put a little more loft on a ball that got tipped. Things like that to clean up. So really encouraging start for him. And, you know, he just didn't look like a freshman. Now, it'll be a bigger test this weekend, which makes it so exciting. But so far, so good. It was, you know, he passed that one with flying colors.
And it also helps to have a running back like Justice Haynes, the Alabama transfer, Clayton, 16 carries, 159, 3 touchdowns against New Mexico. What do you expect Michigan's game plan to be going into Oklahoma? Do you think they're going to want to give Haynes the ball 20, 25 times and lean on the ground game? Do you think because maybe Oklahoma's going to sell out on the run and Underwood's going to get some opportunities, they're going to maybe let him try and win the game on his arm? What do you think the game plan is going in for Michigan against Oklahoma?
Well, I think they'll be ready for anything and kind of see what works. And another element of this new offense that Michigan has under coordinator Chip Lindsey, is that they're going to run a lot of run-pass options. So the play, you know, may be up to Bryce Underwood and what decision he makes after the play begins. They had 19 of those on Saturday. 13 of them ended up being a handoff. Six of them were passes by Bryce Underwood. So if Oklahoma does want to sell out, I think Michigan will have no problem letting Bryce Underwood pull the ball away and throw, maybe look to run himself if there's a lane there. So, they want to run the ball. And I think that there are going to be some opportunities to do that. Watching Oklahoma's game against Illinois State on Saturday, an FCS opponent, you can't take too much away. But Illinois State ran the ball a little bit. They gashed them on a few plays. They had a few explosive runs, even though they lost 35-3. So I think that's definitely something Oklahoma is going to want to clean up this weekend. And Michigan's probably watching that tape thinking, okay, we have some opportunities here. But Justice Haynes, what a debut from him. It's the most by a Michigan running back in a debut since 1970. Wow. Broke the two long ones, one for a touchdown, one to the 1 yard line, and then scored on first and goal from there the next play. So he's physical. He's really fast in the open field. And he just kind of is a great balance, is a dynamic athlete. So Jordan Marshall is the other guy. They're still going to use him a lot. They're the 1-2 punch. He didn't have as good of a day on Saturday, but if one of those guys gets going, whether it's Marshall or Haynes, I'd expect them to lean on them pretty heavily.
And then the wide receiver room, Clayton, you had Marlon Klein with a really good game for Michigan on Saturday. 6 catches for 93 yards and a touchdown. Throughout the season, would you expect him to probably be the top wide receiver for Michigan throughout the season?
Well, he's actually a tight end, and they lose Colson Loveland, number 10 overall pick, to the Chicago Bears last year. And Marlon Klein's 93 yards in that game on Saturday would have been the second highest in Colson Loveland's career. Again, it's against New Mexico, but they were going to him early and often. He looked really good running up the seam, catching, running after the catch, things like that. So he's going to be a nice option for them. I think a few wide receivers emerged. Donovan McCulley had a few shorter catches, but he's their number one wide out in terms of that position. Channing Goodwin had a nice big catch. Kendrick Bell had a 30-yard gain as well. So Underwood has definitely developed some chemistry with those receivers. That's a group that was, not good enough last season. The quarterback play was a big issue, but the receivers weren't as good either. And I thought they got off to a good start on Saturday. So he's got some weapons to work with. Maybe not the elite, guys that maybe they'll have down the road if recruits continue to watch how good Bryce Underwood can be. But for now, I think they've got a solid core of guys that it seems like he has – develop that cohesion with.
We're talking Michigan with Clayton Safey. Give Clayton a follow on X at CSAF23, staff writer social for Wolverine.com. All right, Clayton, let's get into the big game on Saturday. Michigan and Oklahoma. What would you say is your biggest concern going into that game from a Wolverine perspective?
I think Michigan's offensive line has to show up and set the tone. And, as much as Justice Haynes had a really good game on Saturday, they also had quite a few runs that went for 3 yards or fewer. I think it was, well over half, that didn't really amount to much. And then he broke a couple big ones to kind of get that yardage up, which is impressive, right? You can't take those away. But I think a little bit more consistency in the run game will be important. I thought the pass protection was good, but, Michigan did a good job keeping Bryce Underwood on the move, getting the ball out quickly, things like that. Oklahoma's got a great defensive line. They've got a deep defensive front. Brent Venables is a great defensive coordinator. He's calling the plays for them now on that side of the ball again this season. So he's going to throw a lot of different looks at Bryce Underwood and that offensive line. They've got to communicate well in the noise, which is going to be a challenge. And then, the quarterback play on either side, right? It's going to come down to maybe a few plays here or there. Whether it's avoiding the mistakes or making the mistakes and the defense capitalizing or creating some big plays through the air. Bryce Underwood against John Mateer, the number one recruit in the country against the number one transfer portal quarterback in the country in John Mateer. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that is a good storyline. I like that. Defensively, what would you say is the biggest concern, the biggest thing you'd be worried about with that Michigan defense going up against John Mateer? They gave up 17 against New Mexico. Probably not a lot of people thought they'd give up that many points. What did you see out of the defense that maybe makes you a little hesitant against that Oklahoma offense?
Yeah, I think it's maybe Michigan's secondary in the corners, specifically going up against what I think is a really good, or really solid, I would say, revamped wide receiving core that Oklahoma has. Deion Burks looked really good on Saturday. Keontez, forgetting his last name, I was just watching this game. Number 9 looked really good as well and dynamic. The tight end, number 12, I'm just, you know, going to go with numbers now. It looked good. It converted linebacker, but it apparently runs a 10-3, 100-meter dash. Got great speed. So he's got John Mateer's got guys to work with. He can run around and find open receivers downfield. He can run as well. He's had a few tough scrambles, took some hits, and had a nice, you know, design quarterback run at the goal line. So it's going to be containing a mobile quarterback and sticking on those receivers down the field. Jair Hill, Michigan's number one corner, had a couple mistakes on Saturday, allowed a touchdown, had a pass interference in the end zone. They're going to have to clean some of those things up. And then, you know, John Mateer, he went 30-37 this last game, nearly 400 yards, three touchdowns. But those seven incompletions, I think four or five times he put the ball in harm's way where they could have been intercepted. One of them was picked off. And then a couple other, they got their hands on it. So if Michigan's DBs get their hands on the football, they got to come down with it, make a play. As they talk about tips and overthrows, we got to get those. It could come down to that either way with, you know, Bryce Underwood in his first road start. We'll see if he's able to avoid turnovers. And John Mateer, who's turned it over quite a bit against Power 4 teams in his career, can he avoid the big mistake as well? And can Michigan capitalize if he does?
Clayton, before we let you go, what is your score prediction for Saturday night in Norman? Who do you think ends up winning the game?
Man, I haven't thought a ton about it. It's a little early. I'll go with something. I got Michigan winning close, maybe 24-21, something like that. But again, I just think it's such a coin flip type of game. I see that on BetMGM. Last I looked, it was 5.5 points in favor of Oklahoma. It's actually grown since the preseason. So kind of interesting that Vegas is moving that way. Maybe it's the Sharps. Maybe it's a lot of the fan bases. But either way, I expect a really close game, somewhat low scoring.
It is interesting. That summer line was Oklahoma 2.5, and now they're all the way up to 5.5, so maybe a little overreaction in the New Mexico game. We'll see. Clayton riding with the Wolverines in that one. Clayton Safey, give him a follow on X at CSAF23, staff writer social for Wolverine.com. Clayton, always appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the game on Saturday. I hope to catch up again soon.
Love it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Great stuff there. Clayton Safey, join us here on Send It In. All right, let's get into some of the other big games that we have upcoming in college football for week two. We got a really good noon slate this week in college football. Starting things off is going to be number 12, Illinois, on the road at Duke. Illinois is only a 3-point favorite at BetMGM. The total in the game is 49.5. Now, Illinois was a 10-win team last season. Their win total at BetMGM this season was 8.5, but it was the over was plus money. It was like plus 125 to bet Illinois to win over 8.5 games. And I think this is one of those games on the schedule that maybe odds makers were looking at and thought could be a loss that maybe many people didn't see coming. I think Illinois has a coaching advantage in this game with Brett Bielema going up against Manny Diaz. Now, Duke went in the transfer portal. They got a nice quarterback. Illinois got Luke Altmaier returning. Both teams have good defenses. We saw in week one, I think one of the big themes in week one of college football especially, was really all of these marquee games. There wasn't a lot of points scored. It was very low scoring. I think you could see the same thing in this type of game. I'm going to pass. I think betting Duke live is the way to go. I'm hoping Illinois gets off to a nice start. 7-0, 10-0, 14-3. Get a nice live number on Duke, and then I'll buy in on the Blue Devils. But I'm going to pass. Duke and Illinois. Illinois -3 feels about right. Had to make a pick. Probably lean Duke plus the points. Baylor and SMU in Dallas this weekend. SMU a 3-point favorite, and the total is 65.5. You guys know I was really high on Baylor in the offseason. I thought they would win the Big 12. I was concerned, though, what I saw in the game against Auburn and their inability to stop the run. Now they go up against an SMU team with one of the best offensive lines in the ACC. I think that that SMU is going to be able to run the ball, control possession, and I think they're going to that Kevin Jennings rushing props would be a nice way to look. Think about how Jackson Arnold was able to run all over that Baylor defense. I think Jennings might be able to do the same. I like SMU -3 in that game. Cy-Hawk game, Iowa and Iowa State in Ames this year. Iowa State a 3-point favorite with a total of 41.5. Kirk Ferentz has dominated Matt Campbell. He's won 7 of the last 9 games in this series, and Iowa has won 6 straight games at Iowa State. Another great game to bet live, where if Iowa State gets up early, they have trouble beating Iowa at home. So you would figure the Hawkeyes would make a comeback and keep that game close. But this is all a numbers play for me. These games are usually close. They're usually low scoring. I think getting three with Iowa is a good bet, so I like the Hawkeyes at the plus three. Ole Miss and Kentucky in Lexington this weekend. Number 21, Ole Miss is on the road. Total is 52.5, and that's where I'm looking. I like the under in this game. I told you guys before the year started, I think Kentucky is the worst offense in the SEC. They played Toledo in week one, a talented team out of the MAC. Their quarterback, Zach Calzada, only threw for 85 yards in that game. So what do you think he's going to do when he goes up against Ole Miss? I think Kentucky's going to have some struggles moving the football. Austin Simmons, really talented quarterback for Ole Miss, making his first career road start in an SEC game against a good defensive team. First half under, I think, is a good look. I like full game under as well. And I think Kentucky can keep this game close. I think Kentucky plus the 10 is a good bet. When these two teams get together, normally a close game. So I'd look the underdog, and I'd bet the under in that matchup. Another rivalry game, Kansas and Missouri. Mizzou's a 6.5-point favorite with a total of 50.5. Another game where I think a first half under could be worth a look. You have a Missouri team with an elite defense, one of the best in the SEC. Offense is still a work in progress. They got to replace those two great receivers, Weiss and Burden, that they have from last year. Bo Prabula came over from Penn State as their new quarterback. So I think Missouri's offense could take them a little bit to get going. Kansas, the defense is much improved. I think their offense could take them a little bit to get going. So I do like Mizzou. Maybe looking at a Kansas team total under could be the way to go in this game, and maybe another first half under. That could be a theme this week.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Two, South Florida and Florida. I think this is going to be a really interesting game. The Gators are favored by 17.5. The total is 54.5. We all saw what USF did to Boise on Friday night, looking like one of the best group of five teams in college football. I think that game was more about Boise, though, and how much they miss Ashton Jeanty. Last year, South Florida played Miami, and they got smoked. This year, they're going up against the Gators, who are probably talent-wise a top 10 team in college football, one of the best quarterbacks in DJ Lagway. And I told you guys, USF, their head coach is Alex Golish, who comes from the Josh Heupel coaching tree, where Heupel's at Tennessee. Well, Florida plays Tennessee every year, so they're used to that offense that usually gives a lot of people issues. So I think 17.5 looks intriguing to a lot of people, think it might be a trap. I like the Gators in that game against South Florida. Arizona State's going on the road to take on Mississippi State. ASU laying 7. The total is 58.5. First of all, that's a long road trip going from Tempe to Starkville. Secondly, when you're not used to the cowbell, it throws you off. I think dealing with the cowbell is going to be a big issue for Arizona State. I'd look at the Bulldogs in the first half against ASU. Michigan and Oklahoma, the game we were just previewing with Clayton. I think Oklahoma is a great money line parlay piece this weekend, minus 210. I think you can pair them with Missouri on the money line. I think that's a really good look. Maybe there's an NFL game like the Broncos you want to pair them with, something like that. But Oklahoma money line, I think, is a great parlay piece this weekend against Michigan. And then finally, Vanderbilt and Virginia Tech. on Saturday night. Virginia Tech's a one-point favorite with the total of 47.5. Two teams that are kind of mirror images of each other. They want to run the football, mobile quarterbacks, good defensive teams. Last year, Vandy pulled the upset at home as a two-touchdown dog against Virginia Tech. I like what I saw out of the Hokies' defense against South Carolina. Offensively, though, Kyron Drones has some ways to go as a quarterback, but their receivers make plays on the outside in those one-on-one matchups. I think they'll be able to make some plays against Vandy. Don't know if it's going to be an official play, but I would lean Virginia Tech minus one at home against Vanderbilt. All right, real quick before we get into Survivor picks, Reed Phillips, with Arch's performance, would you agree with the idea of getting the new price of plus 1,800 on the Heisman? I would, Reed. All season we talked about, if his last name was Arch Smith, Arch Jones, he wouldn't have been plus 500, wouldn't have been plus 600. Now everybody thinks he sucks, and we're getting 18-1. Maybe it was just the kid making his first road start against the number three team in the country and one of the best defenses in college football, and that's why he wasn't good. Also, go back and look at Sark and what he's done the last couple years at Texas and some of their bigger games. Last year against Georgia, they didn't score more than 20 points. Against Ohio State in the playoff, they scored 14. Against Texas A&M, they scored 17 in four of their biggest games of the year, and here they are against Ohio State, and they only managed 7 points again. I think Texas has a Sark issue when it comes to these big games. I love him as a coach and as a play caller, but too many times his offenses don't show up in a lot of these big games. I think Arch is going to be good, and I think getting him at 18-1 is a good price as well. PJ, I'm back. Paternity leave is over, so able to catch the show today. Missed you, buddy. B-Mills, great to have you back. You like the Cubs on the run line today. Twins, White Sox over 9, and Miles Michaelis over 2.5 earned runs. I like it, B-Mills. I do have some baseball plays coming up later on in the show. Appreciate you watching. Good to have you back. Let's dive into some NFL Survivor picks real quick before we are joined by our guy Nick Kenyon talking week one NFL. All right, so if you look at the NFL slate this week, I think there are five games that jump out where people are going to want to maybe use a team for Survivor, right? Eagles, Thursday night, 8-point favorites against Dallas. The Cardinals, 6.5-point favorites on the road against the Saints, who everybody thinks is going to be the worst team in the NFL. Bengals, 5.5-point favorites on the road against the Browns, also going to be one of the worst teams. Commanders at home against the Giants, they're 6-point favorites. And the Broncos, 8-point favorites at home against the Titans. Now, people approach Survivor different ways. There are some people that like to get risky and use teams that maybe they won't use the rest of the season and look for good opportunities or spots to bet those teams, and they roll the dice. I'm the kind of guy that I look for the best option on the board. I don't care if you're the best team in the NFL. If I think you're going to win the game, I pick you in Survivor Pool, because you don't know how injuries are going to play out. You don't know how good or bad these teams are going to turn out to be year to year. So if I usually like to fade certain teams in week one, but I also like to back certain spots in week one as well. I think the Eagles would be a good choice if you do want to use Philadelphia on Thursday. They're going to be one of the best teams in the NFL again. You maybe want to save them for later spots down the road. It is a divisional game. Dallas is going to have nothing to lose, and nobody is going to like them to win that game, especially after the Micah Parsons trade. I do think Philly wins, but I don't want to bet them in that Thursday night game. The Cardinals game, I think, is a big-time trap. I would not bet the Cardinals in Survivor Pool against New Orleans. To me, that game is like Bengals-Patriots from last year. Everybody thought the Patriots would be the worst team in the NFL. They won week one against Cincinnati, and here we are with the Saints, where everybody thinks they're going to be the worst team. I think they might pull off the upset against Arizona. Kyler Murray is a big favorite. Wouldn't surprise me if he plays terribly. And week one in the Superdome is going to be a lot different than week 14 in the Superdome this year. That'll be a raucous environment. They'll be fired up for the season to start. I think the Saints could play well in that game, so I would not touch Arizona. The Bengals, I think, are interesting because the Bengals knocked out so many people of Survivor last year in week one. Nobody's going to want to take them again this year in week one, which I kind of think makes them an intriguing play. Burrow historically struggles against the Browns and especially struggles in Cleveland. I think a lot of people are going to be scared off of taking the Bengals, but with the focus of preseason and making sure they're ready for week one, I think they could be a good option this week. Would never touch the Commanders against the Giants. The Giants defensive line could give Washington issues, and they always play Washington tough in D.C. They always do. So no pick for me. My pick for Survivor, I'm going with the Broncos. I'm rolling with the masses. All of us will be on it. Sean Payton, Denver, at home against a rookie quarterback in the altitude. If Cam Ward turns out to be a superstar in week one and I lose, so be it. But I'm taking the Broncos as my pick in Survivor. All right, let's go to our guy, Nick Kenyon. Joins us each and every Tuesday. Give Nick a follow on X at Nick Kenyon, BetMGM senior writer. Nick, we made it, my friend. Week one of the NFL is here. Season kicks off Thursday. Cowboys and Eagles, anything that you like in that game, side total or any props?
Yeah, hi, TJ. No, not really. It's kind of a hard game to evaluate. For me, it would be Dallas or nothing, just because of the fact there are going to be so many moneyline parlays and teasers and same-game parlays tied to the Eagles' moneyline. You just mentioned them as a survivor pick, potentially. So there's no chance you're going to see me laying 8 points with the Eagles. For me, I'm more so using this game as a litmus test to see what the Dallas defense looks like. They could be in big trouble without Micah Parsons, and I kind of want to see what they look like against the Eagles offense that likes to be a little bit more methodical. So at the current number, it's the Cowboys or nothing, but I don't know that I have the stones to get there on Dallas Thursday night.
Totally fair. All right, so no real bet in that game for you, Nick. What game do you like in week one of the NFL? What would be your favorite bets right now this week at the current price?
We talked about it 2 weeks ago. Vegas money line at the Patriots. I like, you and I are all in on this Raiders team this year, right, PJ?
Yes, sir.
Like,
yes,
I think this is just one of those lines. It reminds me a little bit last year of Atlanta against Pittsburgh, where everyone was just loving Atlanta. Like, oh my gosh, look at this great offseason they had. They're going to be so good. And I get it. It's the team that has historically performed very well as a market underdog, but the same can be said of Pete Carroll and Geno Smith. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but if you check out the game preview on the website, you can find the numbers. These two are so good as market underdogs. Mike Vrabel, not a very good market favorite. And the Raiders defense, I just think their front seven is going to give really a lot of issues to the Patriots offensive line. And I think Ashton Jeanty can have his way against a pretty meh, like, spine of the Patriots defense. So give me the Raiders on the money line against the Patriots.
I like it. Any other underdogs that you like outright in week one besides Vegas?
Yeah, the Giants. I think the market has slowly started to catch on to the fact that the Commanders just played a bunch of close games last year. I mean, the Giants kept it close in both games last year, and they didn't have a quarterback. Like, I get that Russell Wilson is a little bit past his prime, maybe. He's another guy who has played very well. ATS is a market underdog in his career. But they only lost at Washington last year because their kicker hurt himself on the first play of the game, and they had to go for two on every time they scored. But Washington's defense had no answer for them. And I think you could just see Malik Nabers and Russell Wilson just dominate the Commanders secondary. And as you mentioned, that defensive line is going to give Commanders O-line a bunch of headaches. So I think you could see the Giants win outright. Real quick, I'll mention one more. Miami, I don't know how they're a dog to the Colts. Like, I'm so low on Indy this year, and the Dolphins offense works so well when Tua is healthy. So this one time, we know this is the time where Tua is healthy. So I think it's only +1.5, so it's not exactly the most extreme spicy take you're going to get for week one, but I think Miami's live to win outright in Indianapolis.
All right, Raiders, Giants, Dolphins from our guy Nick Kenyon. What about the game of the week in Buffalo? Sunday Night Football, Ravens and Bills. Who would you take in that game?
I haven't gotten there on a side yet. It would probably be Baltimore or nothing from a side standpoint. Here's what I'll say about that game. Does 50.5 feel high to you for a total? Like, I don't know if I can get there and stomach it, but for a primetime game when you just saw these teams combine for like 52 points, I think it was, back in January in the divisional round, it's just a really big number for a week one game when the offense isn't as in tune as they were maybe in the divisional round a few later earlier in this calendar year. So 50.5. I kind of want to see what the market does with that. If it comes down a little bit, I might be looking to bet a really gross primetime under on Sunday Night Football.
I think it's a good look, Nick. I mean, Allen and Jackson didn't play in the preseason, right? So maybe a little rusty there. First couple quarters, we'll see. Rolling with the under. Nick, really quick, in about 20 seconds or so, what would your survivor pick be in week one? We know it's not Washington. Who would you go with?
Always scary to be on the consensus, but I think Denver is the right play. Everything you said earlier makes sense. I think the only thing I would add is that there's really no other opportunity to use them later in the season. So for me, it's Denver all the way against a rookie quarterback. If he beats you, dip your cap to him.
There you go. Nick Kenyon. Nick, the soccer gods did you a solid this week. No EPL, so you can just sit back and watch the NFL. Nick Kenyon, give him a follow on X at Nick Kenyon, BetMGM senior writer. Good luck this week, my friend. We'll see you next week.
All right, sounds good. You too, PJ.
All right, good stuff there, Nick. BetMGM promo and any sport parlay boost token we got to tell you guys about. BetMGM account holders will receive an any sport parlay boost token. Score a bigger payout if your wager with the parlay boost token hits. Tokens can be used on parlays and short game parlays. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. All right, you guys, let's get to some of our favorite plays of the day. Got some baseball bets that I like for today, including Wilmer Flores to get a base hit against Kyle Freeland of the Rockies. Wilmer's faced him 42 times in his career, 12 for 42 against him. That's a .286 average. Wilmer Flores is my guy today in going streaking. My prop lock is going to be Nick Lodolo, over 2.5 earned runs at +105 for the Reds today going up against the Blue Jays. You guys know, Lodolo on the road, love to bet him. Lodolo at home, love to fade him. We'll go over 2.5 earned runs. Dog of the day, they're giving us the Houston Astros as a home dog with Framber Valdez on the mound. I know Max Fried is on the mound. The Yankees are playing good baseball, but Fried hasn't been as great here of late. Give me Framber and the Astros at home. And then my best bet, we're taking the Mets on the money line today at the Tigers. How about the Mets are favored on the road again today at Detroit? Little stinky McClain's been terrific for the Mets so far as a pitcher. They won yesterday as favorites. I think they win today as favorites again. Give me the Mets, -135. Thanks again to Clayton Safey, Nick Kenyon for joining us today on the show. Another great episode of Send It In coming up tomorrow. Make sure you guys check out the podcast today if you missed anything of it. We'll see you tomorrow.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.